Our Father, we ask that you teach us, give us open ears to hear, open eyes to see, open our minds to understand, hearts to receive your word with joy, and the will to do what it says. For our good, the blessing of our neighbours, and the glory of your name. Amen. One of the features of life here at St. George's is that some people stay and others go. Battery Point's often the first port of call for professionals moving to Hobart for work. People might stay for a number of years and some settle, but others move on. And there's also many people who've lived in Battery Point for pretty much their whole lives. And our church is a reflection of this. Some of us have moved here in the last year or two, whereas others have been here for much, much longer. On Sunday, I visited Dorothy, who's our oldest parishioner. She's a bit too frail to get to church, but her first Sunday here was at our 100th anniversary in 1938, some time ago. So people are always coming and going. And St. George's is a place where all people are welcome, whatever your age, your stage, your background, your ethnicity, your sexuality, your education, your wealth, whatever it is, because God welcomes each one of us in Christ. And God's purpose for us as a church is that we be a place where people encounter the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ, and are transformed by his light and love. And often our communion services end with a prayer that reminds us that we are not only to be transformed, but also sent out into the world. Some of us to specific ministries. We've heard from Cameron today sharing about prison fellowship. We can think of Mark and Joey serving in Cambodia, or Andy in uni ministry. But the truth is, all of us every Sunday are actually sent out from our time of corporate worship to our schools, our workplaces, our families, our neighborhoods to be Christ's light and life. Here's the prayer. Father, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Well, this is the last in our vision series, looking at our plans for the coming 3 years. God has called us as St. George's to be the light on the hill. And our mission, I wonder whether you can remember it, is to see people, what's number one? Drawn to the light of Christ. Well done, you're doing better than 8 o'clock. Number two, transformed by the light of Christ. And number three, sent out to shine the light of Christ. Well done. I had to work a little bit harder for 8 o'clock. Anyway, this week we're looking at that final movement, that we are sent out to shine the light of Christ. And we're asking, what might this look like? What might it look like to live out this prayer for us, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, for us to live and work to the praise and glory of our Father in heaven in the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, there are as many answers to that question as there are people in the church. It looks different for each one of us, but this is how we've tried to kind of capture that common shape for all of us. As a sent out, we bless others through our character and service, and we testify to God's love in Christ at work in us and in the world. That's how we're sent out to shine the light of Christ. Last week, we saw that God's purpose for each one of us is to transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ so that we increasingly reflect his glory. It's a magnificent calling and picture for each one of us, what God wants to do in your life. The shape of the true humanity that we're called to and that we see in Jesus is cross-shaped love. And so we are called to love and serve God and our neighbor with the gifts that God has given us. My hope and prayer for each of you is that all who come through our doors will be captured by God's vision for your life to shine with the light of Christ. And that through St. George's, your time here, you might grow spiritually and be equipped to serve so that you can be a blessing in the communities and workplaces to which you go, in fact, to which you're sent, all of us as we go out on a Sunday. So what might it look for each of us to shine the light of Christ as we're sent out from St. George's? Well, there's lots of different places we could look at in the scriptures. But today we're looking particularly at 1 Peter. And here we see there are fundamentally two ways or two parts to shining the light of Christ, namely what we do and what we say, what we do through our character and our service, and what we say as we testify to God's love in Christ. So let's consider each of those in turn. So part one, doing. Have a look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There's a few things for us to notice in this text. First, God has called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. In Christ, he has shown each one of us his abundant mercy and grace. And this means that we are given a new identity, which is signified in baptism. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. This new identity as the people of God, it creates a little bit of a distance between us and our neighbors. We are, as verse 11 puts it, foreigners and exiles, or another translation reads, aliens and strangers in the world. That distance, however, is not a cause for hostility. Our unbelieving neighbors, the secular culture around us, are not the enemy. The battle we fight is actually internal against sinful desires. And how does Peter say that we are to relate to our neighbors and our culture? Well, here, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We are to live good lives. We're called to love and serve our neighbors and be a blessing to those around us. We're called to help the needy, care for the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the poor, visit those in prison, seek justice for the oppressed, to be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share. Notice that Peter expects we'll be among our neighbors. He expects that our neighbors will know that we are Christians. He expects that they will see the difference that Christ makes in our lives, and how we live will have an effect upon them. Peter expects that we will be public disciples. Yes, the Christian faith is deeply personal, but it is not private. It's a public faith. And Peter really is just saying the same thing that Jesus said, we just read this morning in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden, Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, which would be absurd, right? Like Jesus is making a joke here, right? To make his point. No, what do? They put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And Jesus says, so in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Being a Christian is about the whole of life. Christ's light needs to shine in every part of our lives so that none of it is in darkness, but also so that he can shine through all areas of our life to others. How we relate to other people, our families, our colleagues, even our enemies. How we think, how we use the gifts and resources he's given us, how we speak, how we act, how we do our work, how we use our leisure. There's no part of our lives over which Christ does not say, I am the Lord, so that we can shine. All these can be occasions for us to offer ourselves and what we do to God in worship for his glory so that we may shine the light of Christ. And when we live and work to God's glory, when we love and serve our neighbors, God uses us to shine his light and make this world a better place. 2 weeks ago, one of the world's most prominent atheists, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, published an essay entitled Why I Am Now a Christian. She has a remarkable story growing up in Somalia and joining the Muslim Brotherhood, then fleeing to the Netherlands as a refugee, embracing atheism, becoming an MP, navigating life as a public intellectual. And one of the reasons that she gives for her decision to become a Christian is the impact of a book, Dominion, by historian Tom Holland. Through reading this, she came to realize that the things that she valued most in Western culture are the legacy of Christianity. She writes, that legacy consists in an elaborate set of ideas and institutions designed to safeguard human life, freedom, and dignity. From the nation state and the rule of law to the institutions of science, health, and learning, all sorts of apparently secular freedoms of the market, of conscience, of the press, they all find their roots in Christianity, end quote. Now, in a subsequent interview, she kind of adds more personal reasons for her conversion. And she's certainly not saying that the church has an unblemished record, far from it. But what she points to here is the fact that when the church and we as individual Christians have been salt and light, the salt and light that Jesus calls us to be, we have brought enormous blessing to the world. Enormous blessing. On a personal level here at St. George's, I think of folks like Anthea and Mike, Karen, sent out from St. George's, shining Christ's light, blessing our city and our state through their positions of leadership. So they exercise Christ-like character and service. But we don't have to be in, the head of the TASTAFE board or the head of the med school. Each of us has our own sphere of influence. Might just be with our family and our friends, but in our workplaces, wherever it is. The question is, how can we shine Christ's light where he's placed us? That brings us to our second point. Shining the light of Christ is not only about what we do, it is also about what we say. As we live good lives among our neighbors, Peter expects that they will ask us why we're different, about where the light comes from. And so we'll have an opportunity to shine the light of Christ in what we say. Peter writes in chapter 3, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. This is what it means to shine the light of Christ, to always be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have. We speak about Christ as we have opportunity. That's part of what being a public disciple looks like. Now, someone like Ayanhirst Ali is doing just that, using her platform as a public intellectual. That essay has got a whole lot of reads around the world, millions of different people. Most of us don't have that kind of reach, but we can speak about Christ in our relationships. Notice that Peter says we're not to be arrogant or aggressive, saying Jesus is the only way to the Father, just like he said he was, goes hand in hand with gentleness and respect. And in this, we follow Christ's own example. He shows us how to hold on to both conviction and compassion, truth and love, courage and humility. He did that all the way to the cross, which tells us that we are more sinful than we dare to imagine, admit. There's some hard truths there, but we are more loved than we dare to imagine. So we are sent out to shine Christ's light through what we do and say. How are we as a church going to work towards that end? Well, four things, you can read them in our vision booklet. Here we are. Number one, by being a people of blessing to our community as a church and as individuals. I would love for each one of us to have that question in our DNA. How can I bless those around me? How can I bless those around me? What a question to carry with us each day. Number two, by developing a culture of sharing the good news of Jesus through faith, providing tools for faith conversations, and by sharing and celebrating the opportunities God gives us. This is an area I think we need to grow in. We can grow in. When we did the National Church Life Survey a couple of years ago, now it is not great sample data, but anyway, nevertheless, it tells us a little bit about our church. Anyway, only 27% of people said that they'd invited someone to church in the past year. And only 7% of people said they actively look for opportunities to share their faith. I would love to see us grow in confidence in sharing our faith, to be praying for and looking for opportunities to share the light of Christ with our neighbors, sharing with them the great blessings that we've received from his hand, inviting them to experience his love and light. So that's number two. Number three, by being encouraged through structured and formalized sharing and celebrating the work God is doing through our mission partners. There's people we specifically have sent out to do ministry and to serve in God's world. So today it's been great to have Cameron come and share about his ministry and the ministry of Prison Fellowship, and do have a chat with him after the service. Our kind of regular mission partners, the Durden serving with Wycliffe in Cambodia, Andy Maskell with University Fellowship of Christians, and closer to home, partnering with Anglicare Tasmania as they seek to care for the needs of vulnerable people in our state. And we'll hear updates from each of them next week in our Thanksgiving service, which I'm looking forward to. And number four, financially supporting the future of St. George's as a vibrant presence within Battery Point by developing and implementing a plan for long-term use of our site and establishing financially sustainable budgets. We want to be here for another 185 years. And so we're going to keep working on that. We've put it in our vision booklet so that it's on the agenda for us as staff and parish council and us as a church. The question for each of us is, what does it look like for you to shine the light of Christ as you are sent out from St. George's? What does it look like in your relationships, in your workplace, at school, in your families, with your neighbors, as your body grows older, slows down? How will you give glory to God in all that you do? How will you point to Christ in what you say? God has called us here to be the light on the hill. Our mission, to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and sent out to shine the light of Christ. Will you give yourself to this mission? This vision is beyond what we can do in our own strength. And we need to be changed by the Holy Spirit to realize this vision. That change will only come as we encounter God's love for us in Christ and are brought to worship the Father by the Spirit and through the Son. But God can do more than we could ask or imagine. So let's be on our knees, asking God to do this work. Will you pray for our family and neighbors for whom God will draw to St. George's? Will you pray that God will transform you and your brothers and sisters here and all who come through our doors? Will you pray for Battery Point, for our city and our state and our world? Will you pray that God shines the light of Christ through us as we are sent out into his world? Let me finish with that prayer. And you may like to echo it in your heart. Father, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.